Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
I mean, I wasn't Zion, I wasn't windmilling, but, you know, I try to, you know, get the gym a little excited. We got to just get, you know, that dog mentality all the way across the board. And, I mean, once that happens and you're talking about people got real problems on their hand, went down to Tampa the second game, I was like, no, this is really Tom Brady. Like, I'm really lining up. Like, I got my job, but they paying me to go get this man right now.
Yo, welcome to All Things Covered with Patrick Peterson and Bryant McFadden, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. The name says it all. If you like what you hear, make sure you leave a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts. You can also watch us on YouTube. Just visit youtube.com/allthingscovered. Make sure you subscribe to our YouTube page as well. Turn on your alerts. When you turn on your alerts, you get the show right away so you don't miss anything. Pat, another outstanding show. What will we cover in this episode?
Hey, yo, Matt, you know y'all gonna have to do a better job of testing me on has Pat heard, right?
Oh, we got something for you. We ready.
All right. Yeah, also we got in the show, we gotta catch up a little bit with the Minnesota Vikings. We're also gonna chat with a young SEC stud, now a Carolina Panther, join us soon, Derek Brown.
Stay tuned. Derek Brown. Panther fans, stay tuned. First quarter of the show, it's time to chop it up. On this Chopping It Up segment, we're going to talk about aging as an athlete. Me and Pat P, we're Laker fans. And unfortunately, the Lakers took one on the chin. LeBron James, in year 18, dealing with ankle ailments, didn't look like the LeBron James that we've seen in years past. Mm-hmm. Father time will always catch up with you, regardless of who you are, especially when you're playing an active sport, baseball, I mean, mostly football, basketball, hockey, track. And talking about athletes when they're age, Pat P, you've talked about this. We even had Champ Bailey on the show a few weeks ago. If you missed that Champ Bailey show, it's in your feed. Go check it out. An unbelievable conversation with one of the GOATs to ever do it at the cornerback position. But people are finally saying that father time is catching up LeBron James. And at some point in time, it will. When you talk about aging as an athlete, Pat P, how have you attacked aging? And you're still young. You're about to be, 31 in a month or so. But clearly, you're not the same guy that you were when you were 23, 24, 25. So how have you attacked the aging element to your game to be able to still play at a high level?
Just keeping the mind sharp for the most part. You know this better than anybody. You know, in the game, in football, it's only a certain amount of things that an outside receiver can do to you. And obviously if you're losing speed or, you know, you can't run like you can, now you have to use your brain, you know, because at the end of the day, that's what guys always tell you when you come into the league anyway. You're going to use 80% of your brain, 20% of your athletic ability. And if you're if you're just solely dependent on your athletic ability, you won't be in this league very long any profession very long, like far as an athletic profession. So, you know, as the years go on and at times you will start to see some of your skill set diminish a little bit, but that's what the offseason is for. So you can continue to try to get that to a point to where you feel comfortable knowing that you may lost a little bit and you may have to change around your training regimens. Now, like I said, now you have to put your body in better position. So for me, you know, I just look at a ton of film, you know, seeing how I can avoid receivers from stacking me, you know, because that's one of the things that we, as a DB, never want to have because that's good enough to put the ball wherever they want the ball to be. So the biggest thing is just watching a ton of film, trying to put myself, my body in the best position possible, trying to understand what's coming at me before it happens, you know. So, and another thing is just taking care of your body. You know what I mean? Because like you talked about LeBron James, obviously having those nagging injuries throughout the season. You know, I think this is the most games he's ever missed in his 17-year career. And, you know, we all know LeBron has been 100 miles per hour ever since he got into the league. You know, it was only a matter of time to where, you know, Father Time will, you know, eventually catch up with him. But, you know, we all know LeBron puts a lot of money into his body. We know he's one of the smartest, have one of the highest basketball IQs that ever played the game. So, you know, I think that was just one of those nagging injuries. And with him having, because, you know, LeBron had ankle injuries all the time and played, you know, 2 weeks or not 2 weeks, 2 days after that injury happened. It's just now when you get older,
no question,
it takes your body a little bit longer to recover. So the biggest thing is your mind, and continue treating your body, putting that investment in your body, because, you know, like my old defense coordinator used to say, if you're making an investment, right, how would you feel? Are you going to be devastated that you lost a dollar investment versus $1 million investment?
No question.
So your investment is your body. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So you want to be able to invest in your body, invest in your mind. So when it is time for you to perform, the investment going to pay out.
And Pat P, you've mentioned on one of our past shows that you spend around $300K annually on your body. Has that changed as you're getting older? Mm-hmm. And what is in detailed in that financial investment into your body? Do you eat a certain type of way during the season? Do you drink certain things? Do you go to sleep at a certain time? You know, what are the detailed information? What detailed information do you have regarding what you need to do to get your body together?
Well, the biggest thing what young guys don't understand is sleep is the most cost-effective recovery that you can ever have. Mm-hmm. you won't have to pay a damn thing to get some rest.
You know what I mean? That's free. That's free. Because,
like, I'm all for, you know, having a good time, relishing the moment. But at some point, that partying, that, you know, whatever you're doing extracurricular, gonna have to stop because your body's paying a toll. Mm-hmm. You know, so I spend around about that much, around 250 to 300 on my body. I have a personal coach. Mm-hmm. I get a massage twice a week. I got a hyperbaric chamber, put a sauna in my house. Mm-hmm. Because all those things, to me, I felt that that's what's going to help keep my muscles loose. You know, that I feel that if I'm able to, you know, continue, do Pilates in the off season, yoga in the off season, just things I feel that can help me stay limber. Because like we talked about earlier, as we get older, our body change, our stability change, you know, our ligaments may get a little weak. With us playing the sports, world, arthritis may catch up with you.
Mm-hmm. So especially depending on where you're playing at when that cold weather come in effect.
Right. Exactly. So those are all the things that you have to account for. But the biggest thing, Mike, is getting rest. So during the season, when my kids go to sleep, I go to sleep. And my kids are asleep by 8:30. Mm-hmm. So then I probably go to bed around probably like 9:30, because, you know, I got to get a personal time with the lady, or if I need to do some extra studying or whatever,
yeah,
you know, I'll knock that out. But I'm definitely asleep by 9:30, 100%.
Okay. Last question for you before we transition to school check-in. You talked about the body aspect and what you've done to continue to be ready to go. Mentally, as of late, what's the most recent thing you've learned about playing cornerback that could help continue to elevate your game when it comes to being where you need to be covering wide receivers? And I like to highlight something. I watched, you were mic'd up over a week ago at OTAs, and they were showing you go through your drills. You're playing off technique. It was basically a drill. You're playing off technique, covering a go route. And when you opened up, when he threatened your cushion, the eyes went directly to the hip. And it was the ideal coaching tape, because so often for us as DBs, when we open up, we don't keep our eye on the hips. We instantly go to their eye level. And now you're watching them where they can easily manipulate you with their head movement or their eyes. But what you did was you emphasized the hip, and what that does for DBs, for corners, when they drop their hips, that's the first indicator that they're getting ready to run an intermediate route. They get ready to break it off. And that was a thing of beauty. So just exercising your eyes is something I know you live by, you die by. But what are some of the new nuances that you've been able to add to your game mentally to be able to be ready to dominate this upcoming season? Put your coaching hat on for us and let us know.
I probably have to say just probably playing more off. You know, ever since I was speaking to – ever since we had that conversation with Champ Bailey.
Mm-hmm.
He was talking about how it was, because I feel like my eyes are a blessing and a curse.
No question. They can't be. Most DBs will say the same thing.
Right. And I feel like I have once, like when my eyes is on something, it's very hard to get me off it. So if it like if I'm focusing on, if I'm off, all right, I'm in my head saying that, all right, when I turn, I got to keep my eyes low, because that's going to be my indicator when if he's breaking down for a route or a stop or a dig or whatever the case may be, or if he's going to continue push me up the field, convert that to a goal, a deeper route, a goal, post, comeback, et cetera. So if my eyes are bad, you know, 9 times out of 10, it's going to be a bad rep. So my main focus is literally don't let my eye see what I don't see, if that makes sense. I want to see what I'm focusing on throughout the whole route. You know, if I'm playing off man, I want to keep my eyes on my guy until I get the ball indicated, until I dissect the route versus looking back earlier. Because some of the things when I'm looking at tape last year, I was in perfect position on a bunch of balls. It was just I wasn't on the receiver just yet. And I, as we all know, the quarterback's not throwing us the ball. No. They throw the receiver the ball.
Yeah.
So
they're trying to throw where you not at.
Exactly. And I felt like sometimes that I just look back a tad bit too early, to where now I'm almost kind of like tracking down the ball versus being tighter to my receiver where the ball is going, to be able to defend the ball a little bit better. But so this year, this offseason, I just literally just been working on my eyes, like you alluded to in that tape. When I turn, I want to make sure my eyes are in the right position. When I'm in press, I want to make sure my eyes in the right position. When I'm zone turn, I want to make my eyes in the right position, because my eyes, like I said, can be a blessing and a curse. But when my eyes are right, they ain't going to lie to me.
It's go time.
No doubt about it.
It's go time. And then after that, just react. You know, playing cornerback is nothing but reacting.
Yeah, man. And if I can see the ball, it's over. 9 times out of 10, I'm going to have it.
Hey, we like it. We like it. Quality insight from one of the best to do it, Pat Peterson, talking about body, talking about mind. That's what you got to do, especially as you continue to age. And one thing you must understand, you must know, the body will age, but the mind would never age.
Never.
When it comes to playing sports, especially if you continue to perfect your craft. Minnesota Viking fans, it's time for your favorite part of the show, Skoll Check-In. Here's where we tap in with Pat P to give us all the updated information regarding your Minnesota Vikings. As you see us here on YouTube, you see Pat P. He has on his golfing attire. P2 for 3. That's what he says on his hat. Make sure you go get you one. They didn't get on the grass today, no practice. They decided to go out, have a golf tournament, I think a charity tournament. Pat P., how did you do? How'd your team do today on the golf course?
I think we played respectable. You know, although they was using the majority of my balls, but we had a good day. I think we finished 7 under, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know where that placed, but I had a good group of guys. Like I said, I was playing with the team doctors of the team, so don't want to get well acquainted with those guys, you know, outside of golf or anything like that. But for the most part, I think we finished like 7 under.
So okay, that's pretty good. Respectable, like you said.
A scramble format. So everybody get the opportunity to hit and take the best ball from each shot from there.
No doubt. Now let's transition to the football field. The newest news coming from Minnesota, you guys made an addition to the secondary. Bashaud Breeland signed with the Vikings, former fourth round selection out of Clemson, won a Super Bowl with Kansas City, made it to the Super Bowl again with Kansas City last year, entering his 8th season in the NFL. He's expected to compete for the starting cornerback job opposite of you with Cam Dantzler. Were you surprised to see that signing with Breeland? How much do you know about him? And with him playing in Kansas City, will you eventually reach out to Tyrann Mathieu, friend of the show, to kind of get a little insight about the new player you guys just brought in?
Yeah, for sure. I remember when Breeland was, I think he was, went right, well, right before he left Washington and went to Kansas City, I was trying to get him out to
AZ.
Arizona. Yeah.
Okay.
Arizona. So, you know, I'm very familiar with his play. Don't know him personally, but I will definitely reach out to Tyrann, because I saw he was on our radar that we was going to pop. We brought him in for a visit and things like that. And I know Zim liked those veteran corners. So I think he can come in right away and just, you know, provide that leadership, that big brother role. He played in big games. So he knows how to prepare made plays in big games. So he can come in here and help the young guys along with me, Harrison, and McKenzie, you know, show these guys the ropes. You know, I think that's the biggest thing of just, you know, giving back to the younger generation so we know the game is in good hands once we do decide to hang up our cleats.
And speaking of young guys, Cam Dantzler, a second-year player from Mississippi State, made some plays that last year, but like most young cornerbacks do, they give up a few as well. What have you seen from him in year two for this upcoming season so far during OTAs?
Cam's looking really good, man. You can tell he's more comfortable now. He understands the scheme. He understands what he cannot give up in certain defenses now. And that's the biggest thing. You know, as a young guy, you just try to cover everything. You know, you just try to cover the whole field when you only have the responsibility of either covering your guy or covering a certain part of the field. You know what I mean? So I think now with him going through that year that he did last year, having an opportunity to have 16 games to look at, to see what he can do to better himself and put himself in better position. And I think he's done that. He had a great offseason. Coming into OTAs, looking real good. I didn't know he was that tall. You know, Cam got some nice size on him. I couldn't tell you his official height, but
he's long.
He looks about 6'2", 6'3".
Yeah,
and he can run. You know, so that's a that's what Zim like as well on the outside. Bigger corners that can run and that can hold up their own. I think by him going through that season last year, having an opportunity to look at film, I'm expecting a big year for him.
Yeah, he's listed at 6'2". So, you know, that's the official height, but that's basically 6'3", you know, depending on who you're asking. So he has the range. And I think he's set up to have a real, no question. I think he's set up to have a real good year this upcoming season, year two for the Minnesota Vikings. But there you have it. Score check-in, the most noteworthy news coming from Minnesota, the addition of Bashad Breeland, veteran eighth-year corner, signing with the Minnesota Vikings, definitely will add competition to the secondary, specifically speaking the cornerback position. Let's see how that plays out throughout the course of the year. Yeah, you know what time it is. It's almost time for halftime, but before we get into the half to make our adjustments, we got to check Pat P. Mentals, see exactly where he is with Has Pat Heard. But before we dive into Has Pat Heard, Carolina Panther fans, NFC fans, NFC South fans, make sure you stay tuned because on the opposite side of the half, we will be joined by second-year talented stud player Derek Brown, Carolina Panthers starting defensive tackle, will be joining us on the opposite side. So make sure you stay tuned. But before we get to halftime, Has Pat Heard? This is a segment in our show where we tap in to see if Pat has been paying attention to what's happening in the sporting world outside of the Minnesota Vikings. He's moving around. He's on a golf course, so he doesn't necessarily be in tune to what's happening. So we decided to implement this in the show. His overall record, 37 of 54. So out of 54 questions, he's gotten 37 right. That percentage is 69%. Real good percentage. Last week, he went 3 out of 3. So what we decided to do, the committee reached out to fans of the show, listeners of the show, to kind of get their input, Pat P. So you felt real good last week. You know, you're on your high horse. I don't know if that horse is going to be so high this week.
Going to be high, though.
First question for you. Julio Jones traded to the Tennessee Titans. I know you know that. Mm-hmm. But the question is, Tennessee, they're sending 2 picks to Atlanta. What picks are they? Not the specific number, but what round?
2nd and 4th. I want to know.
Okay. Okay. All right.
I mean, it was hard. Honestly, Matt, that was a hard one not to see because obviously that was a blockbuster trade.
No question.
And as soon as that went off, every network, every news channel, every sport network, they knew all the details. And I happened to fall across it because I thought it was going to, because I knew they was looking for a first rounder.
Yeah, they didn't get it.
They didn't get the first rounder, which I was not surprised by. But I think 2 and 4 is reasonable. I think that's a solid trade. And they got players too, right?
No, they got Atlanta sent a 4th with Julio to Tennessee, but okay, Atlanta received a 2 and a 4, which is kind of similar to what we saw. I think DeAndre Hopkins, when the Texans traded DeAndre Hopkins away, I think they got a second and something back in return, along with a player too. David Johnson was involved in that as well. So, you know, Julio has been dealing with some injuries, but when he's on the football field, he's a beast. All-time leading wide receiver, NFL all-time leading wide receiver in receiving yards per ball game. 95.5 is the exact number in 2020. He missed seven ball games, but he had over 700 yards, 51 receptions, and three receiving touchdowns. So your overall thoughts about that trade is what?
I mean, if you look at it.
For Tennessee.
Tennessee is going
to
be.
For Tennessee.
Yeah, for Tennessee. I like the trade, you know, because it's now it's putting them in, you know, the last couple of years. They made the playoff last year? I'm not sure.
Yeah, they made the playoffs.
So they made the playoffs 2 years in a row, made the AFC championship, not this last season, but the previous season.
Yep.
They got a good running back. They got a quarterback that's going to pretty much manage the clock and put the ball where it needs to be. I think I saw a stat of Ryan. Over the last 2 years, I think he's like top five in every category. Something like that. I might be wrong, but I know he's in the upper echelon in the last two seasons with him being a starting quarterback for the Tennessee Titans. And now that they add Julio Jones, you know, A.J. Brown already, you know, is a freak of himself. So now having a true three-headed monster, I think the sky's going to be the limit for him. I like I said, I really like the trade. You can tell Tennessee is trying to do something to win now. You know, they've been on the doorstep a couple of times and felt like there was a couple of pieces away. I think this is a guy that can definitely get him over a hump because, as we saw over the, you know, ever since Julio's been in the league, he's been averaging 1,200 yards.
No question. And I misspoke. The Falcons are sending a sixth with Julio. They're sending a six round pick with Julio. And you guys have been tied for quite some time. I mean, you were the fifth selection in your draft in 2011. I think Julio was six. He was right behind you. So you guys have always been connected to some degree, especially with the SEC days. But seeing this move, like you said, this is huge for Tennessee. My only concern with Tennessee, how much improved would the defense be? Because that was the Achilles heel last year. Couldn't stop anybody, couldn't put any pressure on opposing quarterbacks. If they can find a way to get better offensively, like you said, with Derrick Henry, A.J. Brown, Julio Jones, you know, you lost Jonnu Smith, so that tight end position could have some concerns as well. But they're going to be a well-balanced offense. So defensively, if they can kind of improve their play, this definitely will be a playoff-caliber team next year, this upcoming season. So you got the first question right. I didn't even finish the question. So, okay, you're on your A game so far. We'll see. Next question for you. Chad Johnson fought on the Mayweather-Paul undercard. Who did he say he was ready for during his post-match interview?
My man said he's ready for Conor, baby. He really want Conor McGregor. He want him now. Chad said he broke his virginity last night.
Yeah. And the crazy part about it, everybody's joking about Chad getting knocked down, but he was winning.
He definitely was winning that fight.
He was winning. He looked like he belonged in the ring. He didn't look like a guy who this was his first time. He looked more comfortable. You know what I mean? Remember, we saw Nate Robinson some months ago. Didn't look as comfortable.
Now, Nate. No, I commend Nate for going in there and doing what he did. But yeah, now to me, it just looked like Nate was in a street fight versus a boxing match.
No question.
You know what I mean? Just throwing some wild punches, not guarding his chin. You know, and granted, too, now, Paul is almost like how Floyd was early on in the fight when he fought, was it Jake, right? He fought Jake.
Yeah, Floyd fought Jake.
So the same way, because we saw the
Logan. Side. No, Floyd. I'm sorry, Floyd fought Logan.
All right. So yeah. So when Nate fought Jake, it kind of got the same body stature. Like Floyd and Nate about the same height.
Yeah.
Floyd's a professional, so he knew how to get inside. Nate ain't know how to do that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I feel like I feel like Nate should have fought somebody that had a similar structure to him.
Measurables.
I think he would have had a better opportunity, you know, a better chance of standing on his two feet at the end of that fight versus being knocked down, two or three times.
Real quick before we transition to the next question, is there another NFL star, past or present, you would love to see in the match, boxing
ring? DJ Swellinger, man. I would love to see DJ get in the ring.
Who that?
DJ Swellinger.
Oh, okay. And why is that?
Because I've been seeing DJ, actually, he trained every offseason. I've been knowing DJ for, 6 years? Mm-hmm. And he trained every offseason boxing. That's like his condition. And, you know, looking at him on tape, he looks good. You know what I mean? He got the movement, got hand speed, got the head movement, got nice jab. You know, I think he looks really good. So I would like to see DJ in the ring, man, a young bull in the ring.
Okay. Well, DJ, Pat P, threw your name out there. Let's see. That ain't a bad day's work if you can stay on your feet.
No doubt about it.
No question. All right, next question for you. Has Pat heard? What big-time college coach just receiving an extension? Well, we got
it. I don't know. What big-time coach?
Yep. Just received I think it's a three-year extension.
I mean, there's only three of them worthy of a three-year of an extension. It got to be, and I don't think I saw this. It wasn't Nick Saban. It could be. No, I would have saw that too. Now you got me on this one, Matt.
We had him on the show.
We had him on the show, and it was a coach, big time. Yeah,
college coach.
College coach. We only had Nick Saban.
Nope. We had other coaches. And Jimbo, Kirby.
Oh, okay.
Herm.
Yeah, I probably go. It probably got to be Kirby because he's coming up to the end of his deal.
Wrong.
Who was it?
It was Nick Saban.
It was Nick.
Nick got a three-year extension.
Okay.
At the end of this deal, he'll be 77.
Okay. Because I know I remember extension. He signed like a 10-year deal, maybe a 7-year deal like 5 years ago, right? Well,
yeah.
He was in the contentions of getting, well, that's when Texas was trying to get.
Yep. Okay, we got you on there. You missed one. Now, I remember last week when you got 3 for 3 right, you were hollering about, you know, y'all don't need to just ask me questions regarding sports. You know, I'm well-rounded in anything news-related. So what we decided to do was, okay, some fans came up with this one. Another royal baby was born.
Oh, yeah.
What did Meghan Markle and Prince Harry name their girl?
Lily something. It's like Lily Pad or something like that.
Lilibet.
Yeah, Lilibet.
Yeah, Lilibet Diana. Okay.
I did that.
All right. It's the last question for you. You got that one right. Oh, this is a good one. Jeff Bezos is planning a notable trip after resigning at Amazon. Where is he going?
Damn.
You're a traveler. You love traveling. But I don't know if you want to go to this place.
I know. I saw a picture of it. I'm trying to think. It just came out like maybe a week ago. Damn, now you got me on this one.
All right.
But yeah, I did see that. I saw a picture of it. It was on Instagram.
You heard it too. Out of space. He's planning on traveling out of space.
So who is the guy? It was another guy that was trying to because I thought he was into this too about these I forget what company was trying to do that. It was trying to build a jet that can get you from LA to Japan in like 3 hours or something like that.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Was he a part of that adventure?
I don't know if Jeff Bezos was a part of that or Elon Musk was.
I know Elon Musk was, but I thought Jeff was involved in that too. But I did see the picture. I remember seeing them talk about it, but I can't remember where the hell he was going.
Yeah, he's going on a rocket ship called Blue Origin.
Blue Origin out of space.
Out of space. That's a heck of a trip. Resigning.
Yeah, he's building like a $200 million like a new Amazon headquarters somewhere.
Jeff got so much money. If too much was ever a thing, it would be Jeff.
Right.
if too much was ever a thing or a person, it would Jeff. Be Jeff. No question. All right. So you got that one wrong. I think you were 4 for 2?
No, man, 3 for 5, man.
3 for 5. I'm sorry, 3 for 5. My bad. Good job. 3 for 5. You didn't get everything right, but yeah.
I mean, that's 60%.
Yeah, you above 50%. Now it's time for 7 questions. 7 questions is where we get a chance to interact with you, the listeners and the viewers. If you want your question to be answered here in the show in the near future, leave a question attached to a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, and we may get to it on the show. This question comes from Darren on Apple Podcasts. Who are the top 5 coaches you played against?
Top 5 coaches I played against?
Yeah, your number one is my number one probably as well.
Bill Belichick?
No question.
Oh yeah, Bill.
Yeah. And if you want to mix this, you want to throw in college coaches and pro coaches in, you can.
Yeah, I was going to go Bill, Nick, Urban Meyer. I got two more. That damn Sean McVay, man. He tough. Mm.
Okay.
That's a good list. I don't think I beat Sean. I don't think I beat the Rams since he became a damn head coach.
Nah, he had a good record, especially against Arizona in Arizona.
Yeah, I think he's like 8-0 or something crazy like that. Maybe like 10 now or something crazy. And my fifth, man, I'll probably have to say that that 08 to 2013 San Francisco, Jim Harbaugh.
Oh, yeah.
It was tough.
At Candlestick Park when they were playing at Candlestick.
Hey man, I never get this dog. We played San Fran. This was either the year before their last season playing in Candlestick, or it was the year. It was the last year playing there, right? Mm-hmm. So we whooping them, we beating them, right? In the fourth quarter, it's 8 minutes to go. No, actually, we was down. We needed to stop. 8 minutes ago, these guys was on their own 15-yard line, Matt, and ran the ball all the, they didn't throw the ball one time. All running plays. Frank Gore left, Frank Gore right. That's when they had just brought, you know, they used to put Frank Gore like right behind the quarterback. Mm-hmm. You couldn't really see him. Man, not the first thing he said after the press conference, he was like, yep. That's the old traditional grinding meat. I was like, oh man, the boy went grinding meat on us, man. I think it was a 12 play drive, man. It was something crazy. And they ran the ball 12 times, bro, for like 90, 85 yards or something like
that. Yeah, that's disrespectful.
No doubt about it.
No question. Just straight runs.
Yeah, and with them, we knew they wasn't throwing. Only passing plays that San Fran had when they had when Jim was there was freaking just a tight end wheel route, because he used to run the ball so much and Dave just used to slip out somehow away on the wheel route up the sideline, always streaking. And you know what I mean? And that was basically their big plays, because Crab was like more of the possession type receiver, really didn't run any routes over 15 yards, you know, but their whole motto was just play great defense and run the football. So, you know, those was my top five toughest coaches to go against, for sure.
Mine would be Belichick 1, Dungy 2, Sean Payton 3, Harbaugh 4.
Okay.
And I'm not talking about San Fran Harbaugh, Ravens.
I figured.
Yeah, and the fifth, who would be the fifth? Ooh, who would be the fifth? That's a good one.
Did you play against Bill Parcells? You probably just missed Bill, because I think Bill.
Hey, when we played Dallas, I don't know if he was there or not.
I think his last year was like 06.
Yeah.
Maybe 05.
I can throw Marty Schottenheimer in there as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. May you rest in peace. Went with the Chargers, my rookie year. I think we played my rookie and my second year. But clearly, you know, I can throw some other names at the fifth spot, but that top four is definitely set in stone. So
I'll put Andy Reid as my honorable mention.
Oh yeah, I forgot about Andy when Andy was with Philadelphia too. Oh, and he had the late great Jim Johnson.
Yeah,
Jim Johnson was a DC man. Jim Johnson was a beast at calling plays. Some of his blitz concepts were unbelievable. So I forgot about I would throw Andy Reid in there at the fifth during his Philly days. With the late, great Jim Johnson. Hey, Darren, great question. Thank you, Darren, for giving us that question on Apple Podcasts. Like I said, if you want to have your question answered on the show, make sure you attach a 5-star review to your question. It's giveaway time. A few weeks ago, we announced a giveaway of a signed copy of ESPN magazine cover featuring the 2008 Steelers defense. The winner has been chosen at random for leaving a 5-star review with their favorite guest. That winner is Rockstar Dan. Congratulations to Rockstar Dan. You will be receiving that 2008 ESPN magazine cover featuring the Steelers defense shortly. We'll be in touch and stay tuned for more giveaways coming up. It's shout out time. We also want to remind everyone that you can find us on Instagram at All Things Covered Pod. Each week we give clues for our next guest, and the person to guess correctly gets a follow and a shout out on the pod. So we have to shout out two individuals. The person who guessed Chris Bosch first correctly was Bawaz. Bawaz, shout out for guessing Chris Bosch. The second person who guessed Champ Bailey is Sobe2J. Sobe2J, he guessed he or she, I would say, guessed Champ Bailey correctly. So again, thank you for supporting the show and thank you for your guests as we continue to give hints on who the next upcoming guest will be. Again, follow us at All Things Covered Pod for the very best content from the show. Now it's time for halftime. And like we promised you guys earlier in the show, we have a special guest joining us on the opposite side of the half. Second year standout player, Carolina Panthers, defensive lineman, starting D tackle, Derrick Brown will be joining us on the opposite side of the half. Stay tuned.
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them take the first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Taylor Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Taylor Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner from launch to success. With Taylor Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, ensuring you have everything you need in one place. From LLC formation to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account, Taylor Brands handles it all seamlessly. And our listeners will receive 35% off Taylor Brands LLC formation plans using our link, taylorbrands.com/CBS Sports. That's TAILORBRANDS.com/CBS Sports. So start your business journey today with Taylor Brands.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, ladies and gents. We're back from halftime. You guys know what time it is. If you've been following the show, you know how we rock and roll after halftime. We usually make a big time addition to our team, and we're going to make an addition to the defensive line, the front, the first level guys. We had to go out and get a disruptive player. We gave you a hint on who he is earlier in the show, and you guys know what time it is. Mr. Derrick Brown, entering his second season for the Carolina Panthers, 7th overall pick in the 2020 draft, Auburn Tiger alum, 2019 SEC Defensive Player of the Year. Joining us here, All Things Covered, Pat Peterson, Brian McFadden, Derrick Brown. How you doing?
I'm good, man. Just sitting at the house is eating and relaxing.
So let's go back into the beginning. Growing up in Georgia outside of Atlanta, when did football become a big part of your life?
I grew up playing the game, you know, wasn't in love with it. Thought I was a hooper all the way through. And, you know, eventually that hoop dream went to, you know, it was just over with. Even to this day, you know, I still hoop, but, you know, I think my sophomore year in high school really started to realize that, you know, football could open the next chapter of my life and being able to go to college for free. And then just being it. And I knew if I could get that opportunity, then I felt like I could prepare myself to be able to play at the highest level.
So was there ever a point that basketball was a bigger priority? Since you just said that you kind of know football was, you know, something that you was going to do. Was there any thought in your mind that you were able to, you know, play basketball?
Oh, yeah. You know, I had a bunch of like small schools offer me and stuff. I was like 6'4", so I wouldn't have Zion Williams of the world. But, you know, it was one of those things that, you know, I was just, you know, hooping was that was my thing from the time I started hooping when I was 7. And, you know, just I thought that was going to be my lifestyle. But, you know, it eventually ended up turning into more of a offseason conditioning for football. Right. And something to, you know, do and play pickup with my boys at the end.
And speaking of Zion, there's a, I don't know if it's a rumor, but there's, you know, you have some legendary stories about your ability to play above the rim. They said you're a big time dunker. Is that true?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I got the high school tape for that.
How heavy were you? How big were you?
I think that I was probably playing at like 295, but oh. I mean, yeah.
And you were dunking like that?
Oh, yeah. Back in high school? Oh, yeah. I mean, I wasn't Zion. I wasn't windmilling, but, you know, I try to, you know, get the gym a little excited.
Man, that's impressive. That's super impressive. Do you still play a little bit now, pick up here or there? And if so, can you still dunk?
Oh, yeah, I can still dunk. Yeah, I play pick up here and there for sure. You know, that's a lot better than, you know, getting that field work when it's cold outside in the wintertime.
So Miles Garrett or Derrick Brown?
Oh, and a one-on-one, Pat P? One-on-one, yeah, back on the court?
On the court.
No, I'm taking myself.
And what we just saw, Cleveland coach said, not Zion, Miles had to retire because he was I wouldn't say he was getting a little reckless out there, but I thought he was a little careless, you know, to say, you know what I mean, driving to the lane as hard as he was and dunking. All that is all glamorous and stuff, but, you know, I think, you know, football is definitely should be the priority. So, like you said, when I do play basketball, I don't do it anymore. I treat it more like a conditioning thing, get my feet right, you know, trying to stay in front of the
defender, I mean, offensive player.
Yeah, so I kind of do the same thing that you do. I use it for conditioning. So I think that's a great idea, especially for a big man like you, a guy that's going to be a three-down guy that's not coming off the field. So kudos to you.
Hey, well, you got to send us some of your basketball clippings. So when we officially release this, we need to have some highlights, you know, back in some of these stories that you're giving us. So you got, yeah, you got to send us some of your highlights. I know you got some of them in the lockbox somewhere, you know, floating around.
When I was in high school, I had a Samsung Galaxy. Then I had switched over and I got the iPhone, and all my videos went just gone. But I got to see if I'm still on the Huddle server. You know, maybe my high school showed me a little love and didn't kick me off the Huddle server, but we'll see.
No doubt.
At a different point during your recruiting process, Georgia and Alabama was a favorite to sign you. What was the turning point for Auburn?
You know, I don't ever think I had a true favorite, to be honest. I mean, you know, it was one of those things where, you know, I felt like, you know, what was the best place for me? You know, I did like UGA. UGA was down the road. But, you know, it all came down to, honestly, the coaching staff at Auburn, to be honest. And I wouldn't trade it for nothing in the world because, my process took me, you know, where I wanted to go. So, you know, I just hope it just continues.
And talking about those two teams, they played a big role in your sophomore season at Auburn. The Tigers upset Alabama in the Iron Bowl, but then lost to UGA in the SEC championship game. What stands out about those back-to-back games to you the most?
That was a whirlwind. I never forget. That was 4 weeks. That was a whirlwind of 4 weeks. We played Georgia. They were ranked number one team in the country. We beat them 41-17. Then we played smaller school the next week. And then, you know, our last game of the season, the Iron Bowl. We beat Alabama in the Iron Bowl. And we beat them in the Iron Bowl 26-14. And then we went to SEC Championship. So, you know, we playing with a heavy SEC schedule at the back end of the year.
Right.
And, you know, it was just one of the things where, like, you know, we went into the SEC Championship game. It kind of just fell apart, to be honest. And, you know, we made and then thought that thing was going to be a little bit more. You know, we had a chance to go up 13-0, you know, put the nail in the coffin, but it don't quite just pan out that way all the time.
Yeah, I get that. So going back to your freshman year, your first ever college game against Deshaun Watson and the Clemson Tiger who won the title the year before, you registered a fumble recovery. What was it like playing on that stage and getting, like, the notoriety right away?
Yeah, so my first ever game was, you know, playing this Clemson. It was a nighttime game right after they had won the national championship. It was crazy. You know, I remember when my coach Gary put me in the game for the first time. I was like, who? Like, me? You want me to go in there? And, you know, it's one of the things that, you know, we just look back and laugh on. You know, I got that fumble recovery. You know, at the time, I thought that was the biggest thing in the world. But then, like, you know, it's just been, like, just to see things, how they go from, like, doing that to the how everything went at the end of my college career.
Yeah. How amazing was Deshaun Watson for you, you know, being so young in your collegiate career, but playing against one of the best to do it at that time at the quarterback position, man. How amazing was he when you guys faced off?
Oh, man, I mean, he was good, man. I mean, you know, he had just won the national championship. You can't say the man's not good. I actually knew about him a little bit before that. He played in the same region in high school as my high school was.
Okay.
So, yeah, he was – in Gainesville, and we moved up to there when I was in junior year playing with them. And now I had known about him for a while, so I mean, it was cool to, you know, just be able to see him and, you know, see him ball on the field.
So, Derek, in 2018, we know you squatted 590 pounds. I think most I ever got max was like 540. I don't think I can touch that 590. What do you think you can max out right now? I know that was about 3 years ago. I know you're in the 600s now.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, it's funny. I had hit that 590 when I was in college, but then, you know, it's kind of one of the, like, you know, on that second rep, my back kind of shook. So I had been a little spooked. One of the things you'd be like, I don't want to lose this. You know, I don't want to lose everything. This little squat rep.
Right.
But this offseason, this is probably the hardest I've been training this whole offseason, you know, lifting weights wise in a long time. Got up to 650 on squat.
Ooh.
That's a lot. That's a lot of winning.
Oh, that's the, so you saying that's what you're doing right now? On you put 650 on the squat and go get it. Is that for one rep or is that something you can get for a few reps?
Oh, that's a triple.
Ooh.
Ooh.
That's grown man.
No doubt about it.
What LeVar Ball said, Pep, he's stronger than a gorilla. Yeah. that's grown man strength, Derek. So how important is the squat when it comes to your get off? Like, because you're a very, very explosive guy, not to mention, you know, playing basketball and playing above the rim, but the power that you have established in the weight room, how does that transition to the football field for you?
I think it's got a lot to do with it, but you know, what I've had to learn so far is, you know, that core work is important. Stabilizing that core, you know, it's got a lot to do with the game. And, you know,
that's big part right there, baby.
When, you know, and that's been something I've been trying to focus on all season because, you know, last year I felt like because my core wasn't as strong as I've had it before, then mm-hmm. it was hard for me to, it was a lot of falling forward and all this stuff. And, you know, just watching my game and being cut a lot on the backside, like stuff like that, you know, it was all really because I'm going forward, but I'm out of control and I can't control myself because my core is not bracing the rest of my body.
Wow. So what have you been doing to strengthen the core? Because you don't usually hear linemen, O-linemen, D-linemen highlight the core, you know, trying to emphasize and get the core stronger. But for you, you know, what have you been doing to have a stronger core to be able to be a dominant player this season?
I mean, it's one of those things I had to actually focus on. You know, it's something, you know, at first when I tried to, you know, address the problem, I tried to kill it and go abs every night. And that wasn't the solution. It kind of laid me down for a little while. I had everything sore.
Yeah. And,
you know, it was kind of something, you know, figuring out with strength staff and just, you know, being able to figure out, like, what do I need to put in my body to be able to help the recovery of my body, but then also be able to push my body to the point of where I feel like I'm getting stronger in my core, my legs, and my arms.
Yeah, right? No doubt. Let's take a look at your alma mater, you know, Auburn. They had a coaching change, you know. They fired Gus Malzahn. They brought in Brian Harsin this offseason. What are your expectations for the Auburn Tigers this upcoming season with a new head coach?
Yeah, I've got to get around and meet Coach Harsin and his and the new staff coming in. And, you know, they seem pretty cool. You know, I don't know, man. I ain't going to lie. Like, you know, the SEC got its own little thing. You know, I always hope the best for them boys. But, you know, who knows what's going to happen this year.
Yeah. Oh, and well, quick question for you. I know Auburn fans will love to hear your take on this. Is it finally Bo Nix time?
I got a lot of faith in Bo. I'm not gonna lie. I mean, I got a lot of faith in Bo. You know, it's one of those things where, you know, you gotta step up and you gotta show why they bought him there. I mean, it don't matter who bought you there. I mean, you there now, you gotta be able to produce.
Right. I agree. So now we're moving forward, you know, going to draft night. Draft night arrived. It's a three-part question for me. Where did you think you'd be taken? And what were your first thoughts on landing in Carolina? And what type of pressure did you feel heading to a young defense as a seventh overround pick?
On that first one, I thought it was between Detroit and Carolina. Didn't know if I was going to go 3 or 7 or, you know, it's one of those things where you'd be like, man, I really want to fall. And then just all those different things flowing through your head that night. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when I got picked by Carolina, man, I was rejoiced about it. I was very happy to be up here. It was one of those things that, you know, I was new to Coach Rule, new staff, and just being able to come in with them was the biggest thing for me. And, you know, being number 7 pick, coming into, you know, a new defense and everything, you know, I felt like the expectations were so high. I put a lot of stress on myself to be able to live up to that stuff. And, you know, I think just kind of midway through the season, like I kind of hit a wall where I was like, you know, like you ain't got to do it all. Like you don't have to do everything. Just got to just focus on doing your job. And then it slowed the game down for me a lot more. And being able to sit down and, you know, take from the vets like KK Short and, you know, those guys to be able to, you know, understand what they went through. I mean, they like they would look at, you know, I'd be talking to KK and they'd be like, man, like I'm frustrated, this or that or whatever. He'd be like, bro, you gotta just calm down. Like this is the process of how things are gonna go.
Right.
Yeah, no doubt. What were some of the challenges of being a rookie, not having a normal offseason, not having a normal, you know, summer camp to get prepared for the season, and most importantly, you know, dealing with the COVID season? What were some of the challenges you had to deal with?
I mean, I didn't have much to deal with, to be honest. I mean, you know, this OTA thing now is new to me. You know, we getting it. But, you know, I didn't have that last year. But we had, what's it called? You know, going into camp last year, being able to – it was hard. I take that back. It was, you know, I had a lot of challenges being able to sit there behind the iPad all day and go through those meetings virtually, because I'm a guy who learns from doing. So it was it was hard to be able to virtually – see everything, hear everything, and then try to remember it. Because if I'm not going through it on the field or going through it on the cans, it's hard. It's hard to remember that stuff.
So what was the biggest adjustment for you then from the college level to the pro level? Like you said, you didn't have that off season to get adjusted to it. What was the biggest adjustment you feel that you had to make from the college level onto the pro field on the fly?
I think just the ability to be able to push myself to work out. I mean, when I was at, because I was still back in Atlanta after I got drafted, for 2 months before I could even get up here and move into my house. So we in meetings all day, and then still got to try to figure out a time to work out. And I, you know, coming out of college, you know, everything's structured. You're going to be at here and work out of this, you know, and now you got to create that structure for yourself in your life. And then, you know, nobody's there to hold you accountable. So it's one of the things where it's like, you know, either you're going to do this or you're not. Because, I mean, you may wake up one morning and be like, man, I don't feel good. But in college, you knew, like, if you woke up and wasn't feeling good, you was going to at least have to go to the training room before anybody.
You still got to show your face. Oh, yeah. I definitely know how that is, for sure.
No doubt. No doubt. I mean, when you look at your rookie campaign, you played against some real prolific quarterbacks, right? Matter of fact, you got your first two sacks against Aaron Rodgers. So I know you have to explain the feeling of sacking the MVP from a year ago. Two times, matter of fact, your first two career sacks came against Aaron Rodgers. But other notable quarterbacks you played against during your rookie campaign: New Orleans, of course, with Drew Brees. You had Tampa, of course, with the GOAT, Tom Brady, Matt Ryan, Pat Mahomes. All the quarterbacks that you faced your rookie campaign,
all of them.
Were you starstruck from any of the quarterbacks that you were going against, some of the names that I just mentioned to you? And did any of those guys talk trash to you?
No, I don't think it was trash talk. It was the second game we played, and I was like, you know, we went down to Tampa. You know, first game we played the Raiders.
Uh-huh.
Went down to Tampa the second game. I was like, no, this is really Tom Brady. Like, I'm really lining up. Like, my job, they paying me to go get this man right now. You know, it was one of the starstruck moments. But, you know, it was – I don't know, like, I think after that game, I was like, you know, like, okay, now you got to realize, like, you belong here with these folks. Like, you can't just be getting starstruck every single time you see somebody on the field.
Did you get close to hitting Tom Brady, or did you hit him, get any pressures on him?
Second game, you know, I got a few hits, but, I wanted that Drew Brees sack, man. I mean, Drew Brees, I mean, when he retired, it kind of killed my soul, man. Uh-huh. It was like, yeah, you know, I'm playing in NFC South, so I'm like, okay, well, like Drew Brees, Tom Brady, Matt Ryan, like these boys down here, like, you know, this is the opportunity to get it.
Right. Yeah.
And, you know, it was just like, Drew, we were playing against the Saints, and I was bull rushing the center. And I was like, I had seen him, like, draw his arm to the side and throw the ball, but I didn't really realize what happened. I came home and I cut the TV on and watched the TV version, and he, like, side arms the ball around me. I'm like, oh, that's a bad boy right there.
No questions. Hey, real quick, speaking of bad boys, Pat Mahomes went crazy. I mean, when y'all played Pat Mahomes, man, it was tough. He threw for 372 yards and 4 touchdowns. What was that experience like going against one of the up-and-coming, you know, goats of the game at the quarterback position in Pat Mahomes?
Rush integrity. I'll tell you that much. Yeah. It was one of them games where, like, you had to always be aware, you know, because – no matter if he's running around, he one of them guys that, like, he gonna make that play extend with his feet. So either he gonna kill you and slide, he gonna kill you for a few yards and slide, or somebody's gonna come off their man and he gonna find a weak spot right behind you.
I had an opportunity to play against Pat Mahomes, and one of my nightmares I hate going up against is that damn Russell Wilson, Houdini in the helmet. you don't think you played Russell yet, did you?
Nah, I ain't playing Russell yet.
Hey, man, just be ready to run and don't stop. And what coach is always going to tell you, and it's true, don't leave your feet, because Russell's
jump
for that pump fake.
That pump fake, right?
Yeah, I got in college, and then when I got to the sideline, I heard it so bad, I ain't never jumped.
don't leave your feet. So, Derek, do you have any individual goals going into your second season?
Yeah, man. You know, last year I was just trying to get my feet wet, man. I want to be considered, you know, one of the best tackles in the league, and you know, it's a lot. I put a lot into this offseason of trying to get to that point, and you know, my focus and you know, my ability to understand the game is just improving day by day, and you know, I think more so now it's not so much that I'm so worried to mess up. It's how can I take my game to be next to the Fletcher Cox, Aaron Donald, Chris Jones. Like, what can I emulate in my game from them? Because, I mean, you know, a lot of time people compare themselves to, like, AD. Well, I mean, if you're not 6'2", you're not really going to be able to play like AD. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then if you're not doing the move that Chris Jones or Fletcher do, then, you know, it's hard to play like that. But you got to figure out what do they do that you can emulate into your game, I feel like.
Well, give us a number. When it comes to expectations, clearly you want to be better than what you were last year. That's always the goal, to make improvements. But give us a number, sack-wise. What you looking at, tackle-wise? Any TFLs, tackle for loss? Give us some numbers to add to that goal list for you this upcoming season.
I'm going to be modest. I mean, I'm trying to get, you know, 5 sacks. I mean, if I can get over that, then, you know, I'll probably be balling. But, you know, we'll see. The 10 TFLs.
Hey, Derek, I'm not going to be modest for you. You say 5, I'm going to add another 5 to that. Go get your 10.
Yeah, obviously, you got to get your double.
Go get your 10. You can go get your 10.
I was on the sideline. I watched you play last year. You can get it.
No question. No question. And the thing is, for Derek, the most important thing for him, he actually have – it's more of a normal offseason. He's training. He's grinding. Man, say he benching – I mean, squatting almost 600-700 pounds. Dang, like, that should warrant 3 sacks right there alone just from the squat.
And not only that, Adam, one of my former teammates, Hassan Reddick, coming off his best season.
Yeah.
What do you think he can add to the defense? Because now you have edge pressure and interior pressure. That's a recipe for success right there.
Yeah, so it's funny. Mentioned Hassan. Me and him were talking it up the other day and just talking about, you know, the things that he learned at AZ Whip Up and, you know, just everything he was talking about, man. I mean, you know, he got a lot of knowledge about the game and being able to rush. So, I mean, just being able to, you know, absorb that stuff. Because I'm not a guy who's going to sit there and be like, man, yeah, I know this, I know that. You know?
No question.
This is truly like my, like, you know, in college you pass rush, but in the SEC, you know, they're gonna run the ball until you prove that you can stop it.
Right. No question.
And, you know, in the league, like, you know, it's all types of pass game, quick game. You got to drop back. I mean, you got to be able to get
it. All type of stuff. Play action, rollouts,
everything. Hey, and you know what? The thing I like about Carolina's defense this upcoming season, you guys had a lot of young players that had to play a lot. You know what I mean? That develop. I love Jeremy Chinn, versatile Swiss Army knife type of defensive player. Shaq Thompson. You added Denzel Perryman, Dante Jackson in the secondary, SEC guy, and Brian Burns. So talking about adding Hassan Reddick, Brian Burns, they got you in the interior. Man, you got some guys that most might not see as household name players just yet, but individually speaking, man, Derek, that defense, not to mention you just added J.C. Horn. So how excited are you about the defense with all the new pieces that I just mentioned, along with the guys that grew a lot defensively for your unit last year? How excited are you about this unit?
Man, I'm very excited. You know, it goes deeper than the names you just named. You know, just being able to build that depth. I mean, you know, being able to know that you got 15, 16, 17, 18, 19 plus guys that can go out there and get that thing done no matter what happens. You know, I think we just got to develop. We got to just get, you know, that dog mentality all the way across the board. And, I mean, once that happens and you're talking about people got real problems on their hand, and then, you know, with us being so young, you know, that's for years to come.
Yeah. I'm excited. I think this unit definitely could be a unit that could surprise some people. And, you know, especially if they can find that structure balance offensively. I mean, last year we had Teddy Bridgewater on our show a few weeks ago. He's no longer there. You brought in Sam Darnold. What have you seen from Sam Darnold so far throughout your OTA practices?
Man, he's a competitor. You know, he go out there, go to work, command the offense. You know, I don't pay much attention to him, you know, unless it's, you know, trying to figure out where he's falling back in the pocket. But, you know, it's just, you know, I mean, I respect what he do. You know, the boys be on the other side.
Yeah. And matter of fact, Pat P, y'all will face off against each other.
We face Carolina this year. And I wanted to ask you, Mac asked you about your early impressions about Sam. What is your early impressions about JC? We've been seeing him kill, you know, Instagram lately off the posters that the NFL have been putting up and the Carolina Panthers have been putting up as well. Is he as well as advertised?
And we had him on the show also.
And we had JC on the show as well. Is he as good as advertised?
Man,
but you at practice with him every day.
Yeah, man, I ain't gonna lie. You know, he's another dude, young dude coming in. He's trying to soak it up. I mean, you know, the best thing you can do is get the experience before you ever have to go through it. I mean, you get that from listening to the older and, you know, hearing them and, you know, just trying to figure out what they know before you ever have to, you know, get taught that hard lesson that comes along with learning. Right. And, you know, I mean, JC seems like a dude who's out there to work, man. I ain't gonna lie to you.
Y'all got a lot of SEC guys on that defense. Matter of fact, you were number 7, right? And JC was number 8.
Mm.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, okay. What kind of rookie obligations did you have? Did you have to get breakfast for the guys? What did it make you do your rookie year?
We had a dinner. Had to do.
How much did you spend for your dinner?
The dinner was like 31.
Ooh. 31 what?
1,000.
Wait a minute. They hit you for 31 bands, Derek?
It was 3 of us. We had a first round, a second round, and a sixth round.
Oh, y'all split it. Y'all split it.
Yeah.
God, dang. Where y'all ate at?
Del Frisco's.
Shoot. Oh, that's a heck of a tip right there.
Carry on.
I don't like that, Derek. When I was in Pittsburgh, Pat, I don't know how y'all did it in AZ, but the seg, I take the seg out. So it's only DBs. Like, I don't want to co-mingle with offensive and defensive linemen because they eat different.
No, okay. Yeah, it's only the DBs. It better been only the D linemen.
Yeah, oh, yeah, I don't know how they. So you had to pay the majority of that $31K, Derek?
Oh, yeah.
How much you had to pay of that?
No, it wasn't no pretty check that night.
Did y'all go out after, or was it just dinner and back home?
Nah, you know, we were still in that COVID stuff, so.
Oh, yeah. You got lucky.
Yeah.
You got lucky, because nine times out of 10, you probably go out after dinner, and you had to take care of the table, too.
So here's my question. So y'all did this during the season?
Well, most of our stuff was on the back end of the season, so we were able to do it after.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, man, they let you out. Man, you're supposed to do it after the season, man. Ahin't nobody got no obligations.
Pat P, what you spent your rookie year? You were top 5. What you had to spend?
By myself, man.
What they got you for?
Long ago, I really don't remember, but it was around that 30 because I had to pay for hotels, I had to pay for dinner, I had to get the flights.
Y'all flew to Vegas,
L.A.
Oh, y'all went to L.A.
I had to get everything, man. I had the dinner. Like I said, I had to get the cars. I was the only rookie DB. Man, hey, I was sick, yo.
Hey, y'all went to L.A. too.
Man, Mac, when I said I had to buy everything, I got everything, man.
Yep. What I say?
That was a pretty ticket.
Shoot. Hey, Derek said 31. I said 3,100. I don't even sound right. For food? That don't even make sense. For food and drink?
3,100 is for me and my 8 family, my 8 family members.
No question.
That much at dinner.
Hey, DB, last question for you before we transition to the superlative part of the show. What type of season for you would you consider to be a success for Carolina in 2021?
Being able to, you know, I think, honestly, at this point, you know, for us to be able to make the playoffs, that's mm-hmm. going to break the tip of the iceberg off and just, you know, get to the point of where, you know, we put ourselves in position to play the big dogs, you know, just like they say in basketball, you know, it's one thing to get to the dance. It's one thing to get to the playoffs. It's, you know. But once you get there, then everything happens.
Anything. Just get in the tournament. Just get into the tournament. Anything can happen when you get in. That's that. I love that. You know, I know most of the time it's cliche for people to say win the Super Bowl. But heck, to win the Super Bowl, you got to get in the tournament.
Got to get in the tournament.
You got to get in the playoffs. That should be the most important goal. Get into the playoffs. And then once you win, anything can happen. So, hey, we definitely going to be tuning in to see you get the 10 sacks that we just throughout there, we're going to manifest that and let that just circulate, sizzle in your spirit a little bit. And if you get that 10 sacks, 9 times out of 10, Derek, y'all probably be in the playoffs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So now we're going to transition to the superlative part of the show. We hit you with rapid fire questions. We want your honest, unbiased answer. We're going to go no huddle. Let's see how your conditioning is. First question I got for you. It's a 2-part question. most hated SEC rival and most hated NFC South rival?
Most hated SEC rival. You know, I'm hard to say Alabama and Georgia because I couldn't stand either one of them.
And you still don't like either one of them, right?
You know, I got my teammates in the locker room, so I got to blast them boys every chance I get.
Okay, that's fair. UGA and Bama. What about NFC South rival? Most hated.
The Falcons. Wow. Like, what's a team?
So this upcoming season, who do you want to sack the most? Or who do you want to just lay a good hit into more? Tom Brady or Matt Ryan?
No, I need that Tom Brady sack.
I like that. Right.
I like
toughest,
it.
Toughest matchup of your rookie season? Like, for your offensive line, a guard, center, tackle. Like, who was your toughest matchup during your rookie season?
I'm sending boys down from Tampa. I mean, they had a great offensive line. You know, Marpet, Jensen, those guys. I mean, they did their job very well. You know, it showed off and paid dividends in the end.
Right.
No doubt. No doubt. Last question for you. Strongest player on the Panthers team right now is?
Oh, that's me for sure. No question.
What you benching? How much you putting on the bench?
Oh, 450 easy. 450.
You say easy.
Oh, yeah.
A man moving the house, man.
And 690 on the squat?
Yeah.
And still can dunk?
Oh, yeah.
And still dunking?
Still dunking.
Man, we got to see this. We got to see it. We got to see. Derek, you 6'4"? What, 6'4", 6'5"?
Right there in between. You get a new number every time you get on high taking.
And what? 3 what?
I'm 320.
Yeah. 320 with a strong core.
Hey, moving it.
Stronger core. Hey, Derek, that's not like a Pro Bowl type year now.
I'm trying to tell you.
That's not like a Pro Bowl type year.
We call it here first.
No question. We call it here first, man. That's what we do, man. We want to make sure all our guests go out and ball out. Yes, and Pat P, you're going to see up close and personal because y'all play each other week 6.
I saw it last year.
Oh, yeah, you saw it last year. No question. You saw him last year.
Nah, the young man got a motor, man. I was impressed. And like we talked about earlier, just that defense in general, I thought they had a great, you know, defensive. I couldn't tell you what their stat was as far as defensively.
Yeah.
But looking at them boys play on film, they was getting after the quarterback.
They got some pieces.
Yeah, playing with a lot of enthusiasm, high energy. And that's all you can ask for a defense to do. You know, play with high energy, play mistake-free football, and let everything else take care of itself.
So, no question.
Like you talked about, Carolina definitely has the recipe for success. Now just going to be on Derek in the game and Sam in the game to get the guys going to start turning that season into wins. So it's going to be exciting to see you guys ball this year, man.
No doubt. No doubt. No doubt, man. We appreciate you, Derek, joining us here. All things covered. Patrick Peterson, Brian McFadden. Most importantly, stay healthy.
Oh, yeah.
And go get the quarterback. Go get the quarterback and go get the 10 sacks. When you get that 10 sacks, man, just give us a little shout out, man. Say, yeah, you know what? All things covered said, you were modest. You said 5. We added another 5 to it.
Double that. All right, DB. Be good, baby.
All right. Y'all too.
Thanks again to Derek Brown. And thanks to everyone for listening to this episode of All Things Covered. If you like what you hear, make sure to follow and leave a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts. We'll be back soon where you can expect all things to be covered.
Peace.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.